You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Series Edition.
The last time you were here, Natasha, I was so upset.
I know.
I was upset. I was very upset. That's... Are we going to do a nice turnaround today?
It's up to you.
Now, before we jump into all the Q's and A's that the listeners have, I'm curious about what are some of the leaves that are quite exceptional that we may not know of? And are there any citizens in this country who don't fall under the labor law standard leave conditions?
So the one would be the military. And that's including your army, your navy, your air force. And they do not, they are not governed by the acts that normal employees are governed by. And they don't go to the CCMA as the first port of call. They go to what we call a labor tribunal. All right. So this doesn't apply to them. And one must be very careful when one gives advice with regard to their leave, be it family responsibility leave, sick leave, annual leave.
If I may ask why, and is it to their advantage or is it to their disadvantage because of the exceptional circumstances that could arise for them to be on duty?
Like they get called in an emergency?
Yes.
Look, they not only get called in an emergency like COVID,
yes,
but also the police do. So, yes, they subscribe to a different set of rules because their positions in our society are different to ours as employees.
And once you are part of the military, once you retire or decide I'm done, are you beholden to those laws for the rest of your life, even if you go and explore other career opportunities?
All right, so there's a difference. When you retire, you cease to be an employee.
Okay, okay, right. Yes.
But if you go outside of that, the a military contract, and you start contracting in another form, and you believe that it is employment, then the Basic Conditions of Employment Act should kick in.
I understand. Okay, now in terms of, I was thinking about really exceptional circumstances, and I don't know where this would fall.
Okay.
So let's say you have a woman or even a man who is a victim of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Now, they choose to not go to the hospital. They choose to not go to the police station. There is zero record of what has happened to them, okay, which they are entitled to. And then they now are off from work without a reason that they can produce a paperwork for. How do those circumstances work? Because it's tricky, because on the one hand, a person shouldn't be obliged to disclose that to their boss, but also if they're not willing to submit themselves to rape kits and all of those things that maybe could have supporting document, which again might also expose this thing that's happened to them that they don't want their boss. Like, how did those situations happen? And in my mind, I'm thinking, is there such a thing where you say, I plead the fifth in inverted commas, where like it's a legitimate reason, but I can't tell you?
In my mind, the only legitimate reason would be if you're suffering from HIV/AIDS and you're scared of discrimination. That is the kind of disease or issue that you do not need to disclose. And your doctors will say, this person is a person who is weakened or unable to, what did they call it in COVID? Can't remember, but it's a person who is compromised. And they don't need to put the reason on there. And the employers had to and have to accept that. If you are raped or sexually assaulted in the workplace, all right, then
which is a different scenario in the sense that you're trying to stay away and you might not want to tell because it could be your boss, it could be anybody in the, like, that's so complicated.
It's complicated, and it gets further complicated if you don't say something.
Mm.
So, you know, my advice for the workplace is that you can't expect the employer to be empathetic and sympathetic and assist you, all right, if you don't tell them. Also, there are things that you can, like an interdict, all right, that you can get. And when you get an interdict, you can come back to work. And the person who has violated you
is the one that must leave.
The one that must leave. And that is a very subtle way of showing the employer that you are very, very serious about this. There have been cases where the employer did try and do everything.
To support the employee.
To support the victim.
Yes.
And they fired the perpetrator, who had also worked in the same company as the victim. And the victim took the employer to court because it doesn't come in to leave per se.
Mm.
It runs, the assistance that you give runs in line with the new harassment acts and the Employment Equity Act.
Mm.
All right. And remember that employers need to keep their employees safe.
Yes.
And that's why it was such a big thing during COVID, because we had to see it as if there was a chemical spill.
Yes.
And sort it out that way. And if you didn't, as an employer, sort it out that way, then you stood liability for if somebody got sick.
And I know there are many victims of sexual assault in the workplace that opted to quit, only because even when the company said, we're going to do everything and get rid of this person, the fact that they felt that everybody was looking at them, knowing what happened, it was just too much.
It's too much. And you know what? HR, as hard as they try, sometimes make things more difficult for the victim. You know, they sweep things under the carpet.
Mm.
They ask ridiculous questions like, are you sure?
Yes.
They say things like, I think before you can be aggrieved, I think you need to go to the police and make a statement. Well, that's not fair, and that's not right, and that's not what they're trained to do. So kicking the can down the road is a sign of bullying, and a sign of targeting that person and making it difficult to leave.
Oh, okay. What are any of the exceptional types of leave that we may have never heard of? So let's say I was witness to a crime, and now there is court testimony that is taking place.
Yes.
And I have been, and it's not subpoenaed in South Africa.
It's subpoenaed.
Yes. Okay. I'm being subpoenaed to court. How does that work? And it's not like in the States where it's like jury duty, you all have to go no matter what.
I know. I'd be very interested to do that.
Me too. I'd love to sit on a jury. Yes.
So when you are subpoenaed, that is a statutory document. And should you fail to attend at the time that the subpoena has told you, the date and the time that the subpoena has instructed you to arrive, you will be held in contempt of court. So the employer should not be deducting that from annual leave.
Because you have to. It's not
you have to attend. Yeah. You have absolutely no choice. And remember that contempt of court carries with it a fine, but it also carries with it a jail sentence as well.
Mm.
And it really depends on the trier of fact as to what's going to happen to you. So it needs to be taken seriously. The problem arises for that witness is if you have to sit for long periods of time before they ask you to testify or they put you under.
Oh, because you never know when it's going to be your turn.
You don't. So, and normally what you do is that you, as the magistrate or the judge or even the commissioner, rolls over that subpoena. So when you are subpoenaed, the situation should be, tell your boss immediately, give them a copy of that subpoena, and then phone the law firm or whoever has subpoenaed you and ask them the parameters and how are they going to call you and when they foresee you being called.
Oh, so on that same court one, if somebody needs to take leave because they need to apply urgently to the courts for access to their child or protection order or, you know, those type of circumstances, does that fall under family responsibility or what is it sort of to the employer's discretion?
It is to the employer's discretion, and I would, as an employer, preserve the family responsibility leave
for actual
family responsibility leave. Not that this is not actual,
yes,
but I would say, look, take annual leave. Personally,
give them the day.
I would give them the day, but the law doesn't say that. And you know, we have to act within the law. We can't act outside of the law, and you're not entitled to this. This is on your relationship with your boss.
Oh, okay. Some of the WhatsApp messages are coming through. Here is one that says, on a lighter note, ask Natasha if she's still the only attorney to attend High Court in blue velvet, knee-high platform boots. Fantastic attorney, highly intelligent and very scary. That is from Linda.
Oh, thank you. I was actually speaking about her the other day. That was a matter that I ran ages ago when I was much younger and I could actually walk in boots.
I absolutely like that. It sounds, I wouldn't say scary, I would say you are intimidating when need be.
No, I have had people turn around to me and say to me, you are scary. I had a big rugby player who started crying, telling me how scary I was. And I was his attorney.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know where it comes from. I'm just trusting that the people who love me because I'm such a nice person.
I see that. I see that. More of your WhatsApps.
Hi, Rile Bukhile. This is Busie from Auckland Park. I just want to find out if you are working for a firm, and then normally they close in December, ne, for the whole duration, not the whole duration, but maybe from the 12th they close until the 12th of January, but then they don't have annual leave during the year. Is that legal, or is that how they do things in maybe factories or firms? Thank you.
Unfortunately, annual leave is 15 working days or 21 normal days. And there's an operational requirement that when they shut down in December, for instance, they need to shut down the entire office and they require you to take leave. So, yes, they're entitled to do that because you have to discuss your leave with your employer.
And industries are not the same.
Industries are not the same. And I presume that this would be in an industry where it would be a factory, and then they require this employee to assist on a continual basis until December when they shut down. So, again, that is what the law says. But if it is a contractual obligation, if they've made it a contractual obligation, please, can everybody that's starting out in the workplace read their contract, no matter how long it is, and actually take a highlighter, pencil, and say to your employer, I don't understand this. Mm. What does this mean? Mm. If I want to take annual leave because my husband has booked us an overseas holiday, why can I not do that? Mm. How do we work around that?
Mm. What happens if, obviously, there are exceptional days that come about, like election/voting days?
Yes.
And if your employer's like, I'm sorry, but I need you in the whole day. And we do know that the polls open till like 8 PM. Mm. But if for whatever reason, logistics do not allow you to get to a poll and you insist, I want to exercise my right to vote, does that count as a public holiday, even if under your agreement with your employer, you work on all days?
So the only time it counts as a public holiday is when the president declares that is a public holiday. And what I have noticed in the queues for voting is that it opens really early.
Mm.
So before you go to work, if your boss says to you, I will pay you double time, so vote outside the prescribed working hours of our company, people have decided to do that.
Mm.
But if it is a day that has been registered as a day to allow your employees to vote, you cannot discourage them. It's wrong.
Mm. What about religious days or religious holidays that are not recognized by the whole country? So for example, you know, South Africa observes many Christian holidays that sit on the calendar as public holidays. Yes, the president will say Eid Mubarak, but doesn't mean everybody's taking a public holiday for that day.
Yeah.
What happens in situations like that?
You take those days off.
As annual leave?
As annual leave.
Do you think that there is room for there to be some kind of progress in terms of recognizing other non-Christian holidays as official holidays?
There is. I mean, but again, it depends on the employer.
Mm.
All right.
So I actually meant by the law. Do you think South Africa would ever reach a point where it would be an overwhelming number of, well, we know there is a big Islamic community and we actually would like to add this to the calendar of public holidays?
I think it may be doable.
Mm.
It depends on how the various groups get together in terms of trying to pass that kind of law.
Yes.
Again, it's always open for abuse. That's the problem. And we have to consider that employers have to make money. When you're not there, they're not making money. And for our lady who called in with the December annual leave, if you do not take that December leave and you've taken another form of leave, then you may miss out on being paid during that leave.
Yes, yes. One says, Hi, Lebogile, if an employer refuses an application for annual leave, example for one day, and you decide you're okay to take the day as unpaid leave, can the employer refuse TD? And I know we did address the concept of unpaid leave is not actually a legal thing. So maybe we ask it this way. If you're asking for annual leave, I need this day, I'll take it from annual leave. No, you can't. And then you say, can I take it as unpaid leave? They can say no.
They can say no. Again, you would be silly to say no, especially when that person needs it for certain things that are required to be done.
Mm.
What you should not do is this. You should not then go to your doctor and say, Doc, I have an irritable bowel, and please will you book me off for IBS?
Mm.
And the doctor then books you off for one day.
Mm.
That is really obvious that you have betrayed your employer's trust.
Mm.
All right. And employers don't like it. It's the same when I dealt with a case where he went to a party the night before.
Mm.
He was called by his boss to say, hey, you have to run this race. It was some sort of team building exercise. And then afterwards you need to work. And it turned out that it would have been better for him. He would only have received a warning had he come to run the race and then gone home and been absent without leave for that day than to have been working and being intoxicated whilst in work, which carries with it a dismissal.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's the swings and balances, and and you need to understand the parameters in which you work.
I think what I'm really gaining from this entire series is it really, especially with millennials and the quiet quitters, it really boils down to the relationship between employer and employee. Mm. I've seen many stories of people around the world who will say, you know, there's a woman who spoke in the States saying, you know, she works, she's an attorney and people don't realize. And she, her friend died, somebody she grew up with from when she was a child. Long story short, she said, I'm taking the day for a funeral. And then they said, yeah, but the funeral's not the whole day. Anyways, back and forth, they said to her, after that person's in the ground, basically, you can make your way back. And she did it. But then she resented them so much after that because she didn't grieve properly. She didn't get to be with the family. Mm-hmm. And she quit not just the job, the industry, and spoke about how when she was done, she realized how many relationships she had lost because other people couldn't understand. But this is your friend. So I recall a situation where I asked for a day off. Mm. And this was when I was working on a soapy. A close friend of mine had died.
All right.
And they said, unfortunately, you're shooting too many scenes tomorrow. And on the day of the funeral. And I said, good luck with that. And, yes. And you will decide how you want to handle it. But I will definitely, if I lose my job, I will not regret that. But if I don't say goodbye to this friend that I lived with, I will never be able to forgive myself. And they figured it out. No, they figured it out and they kept me. But I understand not everybody's in a position to take that risk and to be in that position. But yes, the relationships between employee and employers are exceptionally important. The CCMA is available if people have questions, correct?
Absolutely. They have a hotline. Ask them.
Mm.
Pick their brains. Mm. They're there for that.
Whether you're an employee or an employer, do not be afraid to go and ask. If you are not sure, make sure you're on the right side of the law. Natasha, Moni, we end as friends.
We do.
That's